G-spot got a lot of recognition like 20, 30 years ago. And so what happened was everyone was like, oh, that's the better orgasm. The clitoral orgasm is just, that's just, everyone can have that or whatever. But they're all linked into each other.
You're listening to Sex with Emily. I'm Dr. Emily, and I'm here to help you prioritize your pleasure and liberate the conversation around sex. The vagina is a beautiful place. But from orgasms to vaginismus, do you know your way around a vagina and how to properly care for it? Whether you want to maximize a vulva owner's pleasure or improve your own vaginal health, this episode is for you. We'll start with the internal clitoral network. I'll talk about how recent our scientific knowledge of the clitoris is. And later, I'll discuss clitoral orgasms versus G-spot orgasms. Which one's stronger and what do they feel like? My listeners also bring me questions about vaginas and sex, like, is a clitoral piercing painful? Will it affect your sexual sensations? And when sex is painful, how can you reclaim your sexuality? All this and more on today's vagina episode. Intentions with Emily. For each episode, I want to start off by setting an intention for the show, and I encourage you all to do the same. My intention is to help you more deeply understand the vagina so that you can experience more pleasure and connection, whether you've got a vagina yourself or care about someone who does. Please rate and review Sex with Emily wherever you listen to this show. My new articles, Cuffing Season is Officially Over, Here's Your Sexy Survival Kit, and 6 Ways to Improve Sleep for Better Sex are up at sexwithemily.com. Check out my YouTube channel, social media, and TikTok. It's all at Sex with Emily for more sex tips and advice. And if you want to ask me questions, leave me your questions or message me at sexwithemily.com/askemily or call my hotline 559-TALK-SEX or 559-825-5739. Just include your name, your age, where you live, and how you listen to the show. And you can totally change your name or choose to remain anonymous. Before we get into the show, I got to tell you all about something very exciting, and that is my new book. It is called Smart Sex, How to Boost Your Sex IQ and Own Your Pleasure. It's coming out June 13th, and I am so very excited about it. It's about a new way of thinking about sex called sex IQ. There are 5 pillars to becoming sexually intelligent and sexually aware. It's stuff that I've never talked about on the show before. Listen, I've got a favor to ask. If you know that you're going to buy the book, then I would be so grateful if you would pre-order the book right now at sexwithemily.com. Because when you pre-order a book, here's what I'm learning, guys. I have never done this before, but what I'm learning is that it really helps get it into more hands possible. The more people hear about it early on, the better. It helps with it becoming a bestseller, which we totally want because we're trying to get people to prioritize pleasure around the world. And so if you know you're going to buy it, all I'm asking is pre-order it now. I appreciate it. You just got to go to the drop-down menu, select new book at sexemily.com. It's easy from there. It's also in the show notes. And I highly encourage you to just request it at your libraries. If you don't want to buy the book, that's cool. You can also pre-order it from indie bookstores. You're all awesome. I appreciate you so much for supporting this. And I'm also going to be on the road, taking the book on the road. So hope you can come to one of my book signings in June. And I just appreciate all of you. And I hope you enjoy this episode. Summer is definitely the sexiest season. I mean, think about it. The days are longer, the nights are hotter, and your sex life is too. And if you're looking to turn up the heat, how about a little help from our friends at Promescent? Summer is all about things hot and steamy, so I highly recommend you add something extra and tap into Promescent's lineup of pleasure-enhancing products. I've been singing their praises for years, since they started, and for good reason. Because first up, we have the legendary Delay Spray. This is the MVP of lasting longer and keeping those eager penile nerves in check. You just do a quick spray, and you're set to outlast even the longest days of summer, ensuring the party doesn't end before you want it to. So you can have the mind-blowing climax you're now so very well equipped to reach, thanks to Promescent. It just helps you last longer without all the worry. And for women, Promescent's warming arousal gel is a fun pre-sex ritual. You just rub it into your vulva a few minutes before and you'll feel it start to tingle, warming up every nerve ending. So you'll feel that much more pleasure everywhere before you even get going. So it's kind of like the sure thing. So make sure this summer is the sexiest one yet. Check out promescent.com/Emily and get 15% off at checkout. You get free shipping, 60-day money-back guarantee, discreet shipping, all the things. Promescent is your ticket to a more guaranteed good time. That's promescent.com/Emily. Promescent.com/Emily for your exclusive discount. Check it out. Attention, pleasure seekers. What if I told you there was a toy that was so iconic that it practically set the standard for all my favorite products? Allow me to introduce or reintroduce to you the Magic Wand. Dubbed the Cadillac of Vibrators, the Magic Wand is more than just a toy. It's a culture icon, a symbol of power and unapologetic pleasure. Do you know any other toys that have been praised in Time magazine? Didn't think so. With a unique rumble that resonates deep within, the Magic Wand Original is not just a product, it's a trusted confidant. And it's a sure thing. Never had an orgasm? Try a Magic Wand. Never given your party a full body massage? Try the Magic Wand. Listen, it's rightfully earned accolades like Vibrator of the Year for decades, and I've been obsessed with my Magic Wand. I even drilled holes in my bedside table so that she's always next to me in case I need her. Well, that was years ago, because now there are multiple iterations of the Magic Wand, allowing you to pick whatever model fits your lifestyle. You can go wireless with the Magic Wand Rechargeable, tiny with the Magic Wand Mini or Micro. Micro is really mini. Or go for variety with the Magic Wand Plush. The best part though, all of them have the same powerful orgasmic rumble that made the Original so popular. So if you're ready to make some magic, visit sexwithemily.com/magicwand and discover why the Magic Wand continues to cast a spell on the world. Magic Wand, not just a vibrator, an icon of pleasure. Did you know that the clitoris was not even in medical journals until 1998, over 20 years ago? Not discussed. Not at all. They didn't study. There wasn't even an MRI on the clitoris until 2005. There's a lot on the penis, but not on the clitoris. We didn't even know that the clitoris was extending beneath the pubic bone. We didn't know that it was internal at all until 2005. I started this in 2005. No wonder why we don't know. We don't know. It's okay we don't know. You guys, it is not your fault that you don't know this and that you are suffering sexually and that you believe that penetration is how you're supposed to have orgasms. They don't even match up. If you are into penetrative sex, that's great. But that is not how women are going to have pleasure and have orgasms. It's just not. And that if this was just not until 15 years ago that we knew this, that's why we're walking around not having great sex, because all we're shown is that it's all about penetration. We all want this magical thing where we get off during penetration, where women, through the penis and the vagina, but we're all going to fall short of this goal because the organs are not designed in the magical way that we're told. So we assume if we don't have an orgasm during penetration, we're broken. That's why I'm here. I thought I was broken. I thought that the thrusting that the penis was doing inside of me, thrusting, should have produced an orgasm. And I thought, well, what the fuck is wrong with me? Because that's what's supposed to happen. That's not what happens. We didn't study it. We didn't know. Gosh, there's so much to learn. Thrusting does not cause orgasm. Thrusting can cause pain. Thrusting can cause frustration. It doesn't cause orgasm. So I want to remind you that sexual pleasure is in your hands. Like, really, you got to literally and figuratively, we got to figure that out yourself. Go exploring. No one told you this because people didn't know when you were little. They didn't know. So if you have a vulva, go figure this out. Spend some time masturbating, playing with yourself. I mean, it is not your fault that you don't know about pleasure. And I'm sure you didn't grow up in a home where they were excited about your pleasure, because your parents were having, they weren't having satisfying sex either. So what the hell are they going to tell you? They're going to tell you not to get pregnant. And they're going to tell you not to get an STD, but they're not going to tell you about the magic of your clitoris. Kenzie, 27 in Alabama. Hi, Kenzie. Thanks for calling.
Hi.
Hi.
Thank you.
Yes. What's up, girl?
So, this is a little weird, but, like, I have this thing with piercings. So, I got my nipples done, and I was wanting to get, like, you know, downstairs, but I don't know how that's, like, pain-wise and if guys like that, like...
You know, Kenzie, it's such a good question. I know women who pierce their clitoris. Were you thinking your clitoris?
Yes.
And I think there's risk. For sure.
Yeah, I think that's a little.
But I don't really care if guys like it. Like, if you want to do it, do it. So I don't know what to tell you. I could put that out to my listeners. If you're a guy,
I know
have you,
guys like hungry.
Yeah, I want to help you out, Kenzie, because I think that what everyone likes is different. So, but what I think is if you like it,
opinion.
Listen, Kenzie, if you like it though. And it feels good to you, then the guy who's not into it is not your guy.
True. You got a good point. Thank you.
Yeah. And remember that with everything, okay, Kenzie, as you move about life. oh, he wants me to do this thing, or he wants me to wear this certain thing, and he want, no. If he doesn't like you, he's criticizing you, he's making you feel worse than you felt before you met him, he's not your guy.
True, true. Thank you so much.
You're so welcome. Let me know how it goes, Kenzie. Thanks for calling. Yeah, it's an important lesson to remember. Because we all, sometimes we can walk around with things that we, someone told us, they criticize us, they judge us. You can lose a few pounds. Your vulva's weird. I don't know. We just think they're true. And we allow that to hold us back from being like fully present during sex and in our lives, actually. So if they're making you feel bad, they don't like your clitoris piercing or your nipple piercing, whatever you do, not your person. Saves us a lot of time, actually. Not every guy, woman that you go out with has to be your person. And how wonderful when there's things like that where you can just weed them out. Oh, you made me feel bad. This isn't my person. I'm out. But we so often abandon ourselves. I remember in therapy years ago, I had this therapist and she was like, and I was Amber's age. I think I was 27. I was like, well, these people said this and that. And it was something about someone had criticized. I think I was talking about a boyfriend. I was like, and he said, I do all this stuff and he's probably right. And she's like, why do you abandon yourself? Why do you join their team? Tammy, 39 in Canada. How do I get my vagina to relax in order to have my boyfriend penetrate me for vaginal sex? I'm a virgin. I need a committed relationship. My boyfriend is amazing and listens to me while we're in bed. We have a good bedroom relationship. I'm open to trying anything with him. We took a trip out of town and I honestly thought I would finally get to have vaginal sex. He mostly takes the lead when it comes to initiating sexy time and I'm okay with it. I like it. I think in part, I may be a submissive. We ended up having anal sex on this trip and while it did catch me by surprise that he wanted what he wanted in, he stopped to ask if it was okay with what he was about to do. I was more than okay. That experience was surreal and hella enjoyable. But I still feel that empty as I, all I wanted was be able to have his cock in me. I'm considering going to my doctor, but help. I'm asking you first. All right, Tammy, I'm hearing from you that your vagina is not relaxed. You might have something that we call in the vagina business, vaginismus. And that is something, or a variation of that, that women, it's really painful. Vulvodynia is the other name for it. That it's very painful to have penetration. And I'm going to guess that it probably hurts maybe to put a tampon inside you or finger inside of you. And while the causes for this is different from woman to woman, it can have to do with a trauma. There's a few things. It could have to do with a trauma earlier in life where sex became really scary. Maybe there was a sexual assault and your body just shut down from it. Maybe you even grew up in a stressful household where you were constantly clenching, right? The action of clenching impacts your pelvic floor. And as a result of constantly clenching those muscles, your vagina just literally feels closed up and you can't have any penetration. And a lot of women suffer through this for a lifetime. And one of my best recommendations for you is to go see a pelvic floor physical therapist. So just like you'd go to a physical therapist for your back or your knees, you can go to one for your vagina. And what they do in this physical therapy is they sort of diagnose what is happening in your pelvic floor. And for many women, the great news here is for women who have suffered from this condition, they give you something called dilators. They might do it with you and they might send you home with some. And these dilators kind of look like a dildo and they come in all different shapes. So meaning it's like a long, you know, phallic object. It's a practice of you just sort of put it inside and then you take it home with you and you do exercises where you might only be able to get it in for an inch or, you know, half an inch. And then over time, you can put it in further and further and further and they teach you how to breathe and they teach you how to open up your vagina and they teach you certain exercises so you can actually have penetrative sex and a healthier sex life. And so I recommend it. It's not well known as it should be. But I do hear a lot of more practitioners going into pelvic floor physical therapy. But your insurance company might have someone. You know, you might be able to call up and see if they have that. You probably could find one in your area. Doctors up until maybe 20 years ago, they just were like, oh, it's trauma or we don't really know or it's inexplicable or it's emotional. And it might be all of those things. If you had emotional trauma, I mean, just because your vagina might be open through doing this dilator practice where you are constantly upping the size of the dilator over a few week period, because it only takes a few weeks.
which is awesome. The thing is that your vagina might have, you might have been experiencing vaginismus or vulvodynia. Vulvodynia means it's more around the vulva. And when you can't even take penetration in the vulva, which is the exterior part of the vagina, and vaginismus is when the internal hurts. Through a series of exercises, you could learn to open it pretty easily. It's not easy, but pretty quickly, which is great news. And then if you have had trauma, you should also definitely see a therapist. If you have any kind of sexual trauma, any kind of assault, anything in your life, unfortunately, when you experience something as devastating as a sexual assault or trauma, it doesn't dissipate over time. It actually can exacerbate and get worse over time. So I recommend that women do it. This is from Jennifer, 37 in Pennsylvania. Hey, Dr. Emily, I've been a longtime listener of your show and I need your advice. Background in a nutshell. Diagnosed with endometriosis at 25 years old, was able to finally get a grip on it by 35 with strict eating habits, exercise, a sex therapist, and a wonderful pelvic floor specialist. However, my mental identity of how I viewed myself sexually because of endo was very traumatized and placed a big strain on my sexual relationship with my husband. It just made it hard to get in the mood. 36, I was then diagnosed with a stage 3 breast cancer, had a lumpectomy, chemo, and radiation. Oddly enough, this near-death experience hit a mental restart button, and I'm looking to rebuild my sexual identity for me and my husband. My biggest challenge now is to try to explain and communicate to my husband that sex starts in the mind and his role in sexual framing. How do I get him to understand what it is? Most of all, how to do it and how he can participate in sexual framing techniques that will go much further than we should do it tonight, which always makes it feel like a chore and not like a fun, fiery desire. Also, if you can recommend any lubes that are user-friendly to post-chemo patients, as chemo has made it unusually dry down there. Your forever listener, Jennifer. Jennifer, thank you so much for your email. You've been through so much. You've been in quite a sexual journey, and I'm so thrilled to hear you've taken the necessary steps to working with your endometriosis. And for those of you who don't know real quick what endometriosis is, it's a condition where tissue that's similar to the lining of your uterus grows in other parts of your body. So when this tissue grows in the wrong places, it can cause you to experience really uncomfortable symptoms that will impact your daily life. And some people also with endo have some issues getting pregnant. Some of this could be hereditary, the cause of endo, it could be hormones. There's a lot of different factors. And we're still learning so much about women's sexual health. So let's remember that. It's not easy to kind of heal ourselves in these ways. So again, seeing a pelvic floor physical therapist, a sex therapist, and all the things you're doing were great steps to handle it. And I know it can be really difficult to feel sexual, especially when you've associated sex with pain. So let's start with you and you reclaiming your sexuality. I highly recommend you start with like a solo sex practice where you're really taking the time to reconnect with your body, feeling more embodied, connected. You know, I love a mindful masturbation practice where you are masturbating, but without the goal of orgasm. The goal is really reconnecting to your body, how it is right now. And I highly recommend mindful masturbation to everybody, by the way. Our bodies are always changing throughout our lifetimes. There's different things that we need and want, and sometimes we don't even really know our bodies. So being mindful, taking time to breathe and connect and understanding your body. And you know that mindful masturbation, use some toys with it. And speaking of endometriosis, I want to say that Jeju, you guys have heard me talk about Jeju. I love them. They make incredible toys. They are doing an endometriosis campaign this month. So they're curating a selection of their toys that are suitable for people living with endometriosis. They want to showcase that those who feel pain during sex can still rediscover their sexuality with external vibrators. This collection is created for vulva owners with the condition who want to explore their self-pleasure in a gentle, non-intimidating way. They made these really friggin' adorable new bullet vibrators. They have the Amour, the Duet, and the Vita. And these three bullets come in a range of shapes and different tips that are perfect to tease and explore the body. Amour, which is this heart shape, is this really fluttering tip for sensual tickling and sensations. You can sensually tickle yourself or tickle a partner. Duet has small rounded pleasure points on the bullet. And then the Vita has this really great rounded wand tip that feel great on different parts of your body, like the clitoris and the nipples. They're just really fun to explore. And like all Jeju toys, they've got that deep rumbly motor that give this reach deep sensation that you know that I'm obsessed with. I always have a Jeju product.
ready to go with me on my nightstand. And you can get 20% off. Use code SEXWITHEMILY at jeju.com. That's J-E-J-O-U-E.com. Just use code SEXWITHEMILY. Get 20% off. Find the link in our show notes. Okay. God, I'm so glad they have these vibes for you right now when you need them. So now that you've reconnected with yourself, let's bring your partner into the mix. Because your husband, I know there's a lot of people who are like, hey, let's go. You ready for sex? Let's do it. And that is just not sexy. So I love that you're having your husband join along with you. Here's the thing about sexual framing, or really framing anything. It's really about the context or how something is portrayed or presented in a sexual situation. So what you're saying here is the context of him bringing it up isn't working for you, saying, hey, let's do it. We need to kind of reframe and understand what's going to get you both in the mood for sex, okay? Maybe specifically you. What we really need to understand here is your desire. How do you get turned on? It sounds like your husband says, all right, I'm ready to go. He's more spontaneously has a desire. But for many people, specifically vulva owners, we are more responsive. We respond to certain things in our environment and we get turned on, right? We need a series of events to happen before we get to the point of wanting to have sex. Your husband snaps his fingers. He's ready to go. You are not. So this is understanding that things need to happen. What turned you on the most? Do you know what needs to happen, Jennifer? Is it that, and it could be like, you know, foreplay all day. He sends you sexy texts that get you turned on. It could be compliments. It could be the house is clean when you get home. It could mean you have a deep conversation with him about your day and you feel much more turned on. It could just be like sexual reframing is the context, right? So maybe in your home, like for me, I know that if my home is a mess and it's really cold in the house and I haven't changed my sheets and I haven't showered yet, I'm not going to be moved for sex. So those are some of the things that we could think about that will get us toward being more turned on. Because again, we have a partner that's just ready to go at the drop of a hat and we are not. We get up feeling inadequate, like something's wrong with us. So just really explaining to your partner in very real terms, I'm going to be the most turned on when I've had time to clean the house. I feel more connected to you by conversation. I have oral sex from you for 20 minutes. You feel comfortable using these toys on me. The lube is on the nightstand and ready to go. Speaking of lube, you also mentioned lube. I got to tell you about Morgasm Lube because it made me think like this is also perfect for you. It's actually made just for you. It's a CBD-infused lube, 100% hypoallergenic, oil-free, so it's safe. And what I love about Morgasm is it's a two-in-one, which I haven't heard of anything like this. It's a lubricant and an arousal gel, and it has CBD in it, but it has all natural ingredients in it. It has like L-arginine that increases blood flow and will reduce inflammation and stimulates the body to increase arousal. You can have longer, more intense orgasms. It also works on penis owners, okay? I love a lube that's focusing on penis. So it increases orgasm intensity. It can help you for sure with dryness and pain, discomfort for vulva owners. It increases the arousal for penis owners. And what I love is it's edible. It has a very slight vanilla flavor, but it's almost neutral. It makes it great for oral sex. So here's another deal for you. Get 15% off Morgasm Lube if you use the code EMILY at morgasm.com/sexwithemily. That's morgasm.com/sexwithemily and just use code Emily to get 15% off. All right, Jennifer, that is a lot of tips for you there. A lot of products, a lot of tips, a lot of conversations. And let me say one more thing. It's not a one-time conversation with your husband and for anybody. It is an ongoing conversation about sex. A lot of couples listen to my show together and they have told me that over the years, like we binge 10 episodes because the way I talk about sex, it's normalizing sex. It's taking a lot of the shame and it's explaining a lot of concepts that can be harder in one conversation for you just to explain to your partner. So whether you're listening to the show together, you're having conversations with them on a weekly basis about not only what you want, Jennifer, but what your partner always wants. And when you start bringing in some toys and some lubes and you can get rid of all the shame around it, and hopefully there isn't any, but it becomes a new activity that you and your partner share together. Like, what'd you think of this toy? What'd you think of that lube? How about this position? How did sending you sexy texts in the middle of the day work? Because you get to kind of hack your sex life together. It's not only up to you, Jennifer, to solve it, but the two of you are in this together. It is a lifetime journey and our bodies change over time. So the more efficiently you talk about sex and the more frequently you talk about sex, the better sex you're going to have and the more connected you're going to feel. All right, Jennifer, thank you so much. Keep taking care of yourself and doing the work. Thank you so much for your question. Stick around because after the break, I'm discussing clitoral versus G-spot orgasms and what to do when your wife no longer wants oral sex after having a baby. There's nothing quite like sinking your teeth into a good sandwich. But listen, carb guilt is real. I'm someone who's very invested in my health, and I like to get my carbs from oats and beans and fruits and not bread. But I love bread. So here's my hack. Thanks to Hero Bread, you can enjoy your favorite bready delights without the carb consequences. Hero Bread has turned those carby, empty calorie bread products into fluffy, delicious breads that boast 0 to 1 net carbs per serving, 0 grams of sugar, and are packed with loads of fiber and protein. The first time I tried their white bread, I was skeptical. Could it really taste good with such impressive nutritional stats? Well, I'm pleasantly surprised to say it absolutely does. The texture is just phenomenal. It's like this soft, airy, and it just toasts up like a dream. I've whipped up everything from grilled cheese to PB&J and even made enchiladas, wraps, and tacos with their tortillas. Each time, Hero Bread has been a game changer. And here's the kicker. Despite its light texture and great taste, Hero Bread fits perfectly into my health goals. It's been adding more fiber to my diet while keeping the sugar at bay. Whether I'm packing a picnic lunch, planning a road trip snack, which I often do, or prepping French toast for breakfast, Hero Bread is my go-to. So whether you're craving a classic sandwich, a burger, or a hearty bun, or even indulging in a low net carb croissant, Hero Bread is something for everyone. And I highly recommend checking their monthly small batch drops out so you can try goodies like the 1 gram net carb Hero Cheddar Biscuit and so much more. You won't believe what they have. So you ready to kick carb guilt to the curb? Head over to hero.co and snag 10% off your order with the code Emily. That's Emily at hero.co.
So we got a ton of questions, right? You guys email me through Instagram. We got a bunch, but there were so many, I couldn't get to all of them. So I'm just going to start with, there's so many good ones, you guys. It's like a kid in a candy store. Okay, here's one. Is clitoral G-spot or cervical orgasm same, or which is stronger? There's a lot of, see, I can kind of sum this up. There's a lot of questions in here about, did I have an orgasm? Do I not? Like for vulva owners, for women, they're like, oh, was this a clitoral one? Was it a G-spot? I know we label them, right? But a clitoral orgasm was what the majority of women experience through masturbation or penetration, and that's the external part of your vagina. The clitoris is there. It's that little magic spot that has 8,000 nerve endings, and it also extends internally. So sometimes the G-spot, which I like to call the G-area, but I don't even really want to call it an area or G-anything because it was named by this guy Grafenberg, and he did not have a G-spot. It's named after him, which is just bizarre. But anyway, I wonder if I could start a petition. But it's like an area, and I believe that area is like internal clitoral nerves. So, and for every woman, it's different. So I can't tell you which one's stronger because the problem is G-spot got a lot of recognition like 20, 30 years ago. And so what happened was everyone was like, oh, that's the better orgasm. The clitoral orgasm is just, that's just, everyone can have that or whatever. But they're all linked into each other. So just focus on the orgasms you're having and continue to explore your body. Once you have a clitoral orgasm, it can be easier to have a more internal orgasm. So then you could use your fingers or a toy or a penis or whatever you want to use. Not whatever, but it's an approved item to go inside of you to explore and experiment. Because once you have an external orgasm, the blood starts to flow and circulate inside, and it can be helpful that way to experiment.
This is from Susan, 60 in Florida. Hey, Dr. Emily, I'm a postmenopausal woman who can no longer have orgasms through oral sex, as I once used to quite easily. I've never been able to climax through penetration. I can, however, still experience clitoral orgasms with my favorite clit sucker vibrator, but no others. Have I become addicted to just this one apparatus? And if so, can I untrain my clit to react to other types of orgasm-inducing stimulations? Or, because I'm postmenopausal, does my clit now simply require an intense and consistent stimulation to get the blood flowing in order to orgasm? My partner and I do incorporate my toy into our lovemaking, but I'm finding it harder and harder to orgasm at all. Even though I am on HRT, hormone replacement therapy, I sometimes wonder, sadly, if my orgasm lifespan has ended, even though vaginal intercourse is still pleasurable. Seeking your advice. Thanks, Dr. Emily. All right, Susan, thanks so much for your question. It is a great one. Because first, let me say this. I want to just normalize the fact that the way we orgasm changes over time. It's going to be different in your 30s than in your 20s, in your 50s. It's different from your 30s, in the 60s. It's different than your 40s. It can sometimes change month to month. Our ability to orgasm changes because our pelvic floor is shifting. Our hormones are changing. And there's a lot of different factors that go on. So let me first address this. Does a vibrator numb you? Are you addicted to your vibrator? That's not a thing. That doesn't exist. If you damage nerves, that's a really serious condition, and that really does not happen in most of these times. It simply means that these nerve endings are getting used to, and your body's getting used to orgasming in a very specific way with a very specific vibrator. There is nothing wrong with orgasming every time the same way with a vibrator. Now, if you don't love that it's this clit-sucking vibrator, you can try another vibrator. That's totally fine too. But I just want to say there is nothing wrong with it. How incredible that you're still able to orgasm. Here's the thing with vibrators. We get so used to them making us feel good. And then we start to think, is this bad? Is this bad that I had an orgasm this way? But listen, the goal is orgasm. Am I right? Let's say your goal is getting to the office every day, and you could get there by riding a bike, you could take the bus, or you could drive. But you know you want to get there the most efficient way. Well, I would say you could take the bus or you could ride your bike, but driving sometimes is the fastest way to get there, and you still got to work and you still got your work done. So in this case, you're still going to get your orgasm. So I really don't want us to judge the way we orgasm that it's wrong to use a vibrator. The majority of vulva owners I talk to are mostly using vibrators, you know? So I just, again, I want to normalize this, because does it feel good? Does it make you feel better to have an orgasm? That is great. But let's get into the HRT also, because there's a lot more information there about women on hormonal replacement therapy. Just like a lot of medications, over time, when we use our hormone treatments, it starts to change. Like maybe right now you're only doing estrogen, but you might need to add in some progesterone and testosterone. And it's like a dance, okay? You got to tweak the combination of estrogen, testosterone, and progesterone, because while you might have needed more at one point, you might need less at another point. So hopefully you have a great doctor that can work with you on this, because a lot of times it's great to start with estrogen. So if you're not an estrogen, I highly recommend it. But there's different ways you can take estrogen, because that's the culprit. I would say that that's the most severe hormone that takes a nose drop when we're perimenopausal or postmenopausal, because that sort of affects our ability to orgasm, because we're having the vaginal lining is becoming thinner. It's impacting, you know, blood flow and all these things. For those of you listening who are interested in HRT, by the way, Odella Health is an easy, affordable option. It is a virtual health clinic, and their primary focus is women's sexual health. And it targets women who are postpartum, peri, menopausal, or postmenopausal. They have vaginal estrogen treatments that are 100% safe and effective in treating vaginal dryness, itching, burning, painful sex, and will help you have more enjoyable sex. And anybody, you can call into them, no problem, Susan. They have a free 30-minute virtual consultation with one of Odella's nurse practitioners. They also have sexual health practitioners. They also have sex therapists you can talk to. So just check out Odella Health, everyone. If you've been looking for more information, you want to understand hormone replacement therapy, you are in any of those stages of life, check them out, odellahealth.com/sexwithemily. That's O-D-E-L-A health.com/sexwithemily. You can get $50 off your first prescription, which is amazing. So Susan, anyway, let me just say this, is that I understand this whole, like, is there a problem here? But I think that normalizing with your partner and also using your vibrator, but then also like bringing in your hands or the mouth and then bringing the vibrator in, like, it's all a dance. And I think the less we get caught up on like, is this wrong? Is this right? Is it the right way? And the more we can practice being mindful and connected to our partner and talking about these things too. Remember, I always say, like, talk about this stuff outside the bedroom as well. Cause I'm not sure, Susan, cause we're not talking right now. Like, I don't know if your partner's saying like, why is it only a vibrator? And I feel bad about it. But I'm telling you, once like your partner understands, like, this is, I'm still having pleasure, intercourse still feels good, but, and this is how I'm going to get to the finish. Most partners, you know, are going to be down with it. Sex is still pleasurable without orgasms. I just want to say that. But I know that you want one, because who doesn't want one? But again, finding different paths to pleasure is part of the path of being sexual beings, and constantly being figuring out how we can troubleshoot along the way, because things are going to change. If you're on medications, you just gave birth, if you are having resentments with your partner and you haven't been feeling very connected lately, all these things are going to affect our ability to be aroused and turned on. So I know it's a lot of information there, but let's keep talking. Let's keep listening. And everyone, I look forward to hearing from you. Thank you for sending me all your questions. All right, Susan, thank you so much for your question. I appreciate you, and I hope this helps. Let's talk to Megan, 23, in California. Hi, Megan. What's going on? Thanks for calling.
So I have an issue you with chronic yeast infections, and I just recently had bacterial vaginosis, which was a horrific experience.
Oof, yeah.
And the doctor hasn't really, you know, I've been like, what can I do to kind of alleviate this issue? And they haven't really given me a straight answer. And it's to the point where, like, I'm getting these yeast infections and I'm, like, you know, out of commission for at least 2 weeks of the month. I get them so often. I usually get them because of sex, it seems like. And it almost, it's getting to a point where it's like making me dread having sex because I'm terrified that I'm going to get a yeast infection from it. So I was just seeing if you had any advice on how that I can, or how I can help try and combat that.
Well, I have a few, yes, and they haven't helped you out with this. This is what's so frustrating about doctors sometimes. So tell me, are you with one, I have a few questions for you to help me, so I can help. Are you with one partner right now, or what's your sexual activity like these days?
Yes. Just one male partner.
Okay. And so you're not using condoms, right?
No.
So is he coming inside of you and then you get a yeast infection?
He is not. He doesn't want to. I don't want him to. So that's not an issue. I had asked about probiotics and this pharmacy student told me that I should probably have better hygiene, which made me laugh because he... obviously has no clue how yeast infections work, but
well, they do. He is saying that you have to. You're supposed to, you know, pee after sex every time. Pee before and after.
Right.
That's probably what he meant. And yes, it can be. Right. So yeast infections are caused by many things. You probably, I'm sure you've researched this ad nauseum. But like, if we leave our yoga workout pants on for too long, or we sweat a lot, and we're tight pants, and all those things. But it doesn't seem like that's what it is. I'm glad you're going to get another opinion. I mean, it could be something hormonal. I mean, gosh, our hormones are responsible for so many things. Now, there was a study that came out that said that, but here's a few theories, that it can actually be your partner. You know how they always like, women, it's your fault, but it's true that boyfriend can be a part of chronic yeast infections. Does he ever have any itchiness on his penis?
Not that he tells me about.
Okay. I mean, there was something
open about that kind of stuff.
Okay. But sometimes it can have to do with them and it's not about us. It can be part of his bacteria that could be just swapping back and forth. Now, some things say that it could be your DNA. There's like some genetic mutations that make some women more susceptible to yeast infections. And so there was a study that was done on that. There was like a genetic link. I don't know how common that is. I'm just giving you all of the things because it can be your boyfriend. It can be, are you using any lubricants or anything during sex?
We do have a lube that we use every once in a while, but not every time.
Okay.
I actually got the BV after using the lube that we had purchased. It's not bad lube. I don't know what the issue was with that.
Huh. Talk to your doctor. Are you going back to your gynecologist right now?
Yeah.
Okay. You know, I think that there's been a lot of new studies that have shown that it's other things than we believe. So the fact that he said to you, oh, just your hygiene, there is more than that. So if it's chronic,
right.
I mean, are you taking probiotics at all? Because that does help.
I am not taking probiotics. That was what I had asked the pharmacist if that would help. And he told me that there was no study that proved that probiotics did anything.
You know, so. I think they do. In fact, I take a probiotic every day. Of all the supplements, they say that a probiotic, they say magnesium is helpful, vitamin D, like fish oil. And did you ever have any antibiotics for a while? Were you taking antibiotics? Like, do you think your immune system could be compromised?
I have only taken antibiotics a handful of times in my life, and I've never actually had an issue with getting a yeast infection from taking the antibiotics.
This is what I think. It could be high estrogen levels, because sometimes when you have a lot of estrogen in your body, that could also put you at risk for yeast infections. So you might have excess estrogen. I think that could be it. Yeast really can love that if you have too much estrogen. That could be a part of it. And also having sex and a weakened immune system. But I think it's great that you're going to get your test. You could also get a hormone test. You could get tested and see what's going on. But I think that you're doing all the things. I think a probiotic is always helpful to take. I would try that.
Okay.
I would see what your doctor says. So let's do that and see what happens. I mean, I think you already know wearing underwear that's not too tight and all the things. Okay, keep me posted, Megan. Mm-hmm. Thanks for calling. I appreciate you. Let's talk to Angel 30 in New Jersey. Hi, Angel.
Hi, thank you for taking my call.
Of course.
I'm just calling because I just had a question. My fiancé, when we first got together, there was no real problem when it came down to me going down on her having oral sex. But what ended up happening is in the last, like, few years, she's been very subconscious, whether if she just worries. I don't know if it had something to do with maybe after she had my son, maybe she's just a little bit more uncomfortable now, but it's hard to bring that conversation up and be able to talk about it in a way where we can try to figure it out, because she does want to, but she just feels uncomfortable doing it.
Okay. So, Angel, you're saying, and it's hard to hear. I don't know if your window's down or you're on speaker, but it's a little bit hard to hear a little bit. The connection's not great. But Angel, if I can understand what you're saying is that she had a bit, you've been together for a while. When you were together, early on, she liked oral sex a lot. And then she had a baby. And ever since she had the baby, what you believe it's about is that she doesn't really want oral because she's self-conscious. Did I get that?
That's correct.
Okay. So, Angel, yes. I'm curious, have you ever talked to her about it? Have you ever said, hey, I noticed that this feels like it's really uncomfortable for you? Anything, you know, tell me more about that. Have you ever brought it up?
I do try to bring it up. It's just one of those things that I just feel that she doesn't want to have the conversation with me. It's embarrassing for her, which I understand, and I don't try to bring it up too often just because of the worry. I don't want to make her feel uncomfortable. But yeah. I do know that it's something that I kind of did enjoy doing when we were together, and it's something that she did enjoy, and it seems like it's just not there anymore.
Okay. When did she have the baby?
It's been 5 years.
Okay, got it. So, Angel, here's what I would recommend for you. The first thing is talking to her about it outside the bedroom. So when you guys are on date night, hopefully you're still making time for each other with a five-year-old, and you just say, you know, I realize that we've never really talked about our sex life outside the bedroom. And we're not right. We always think like, oh, well, I'm in the bedroom, I should talk about it. But it's, you know, we don't realize this, but we don't want to hear about it when we're in the aroused or we're turned on or the last time she said to you, get away, I don't want you to go down on me. But you say, you know, I want to know things that turn you on. I love going down on you. I love the way you taste. I love, you know, and I miss it. And I'm just wondering if there's anything that I could do that could help you feel better. Ask her what she is into, what she is craving. Because I think now you're making assumptions, unless she told you she has shame around how her body's changed since having a baby, or is that just sort of your guess?
It's more my guess. We've never actually had that conversation. She's actually never actually brought it up, but I'm assuming that's what it is. It is one of those things that I do realize that the conversation, the times that I did bring it up, now that you say it, I did talk about it either after the fact. Yeah. So maybe if I do bring it up another times, it probably might go a little bit easier.
Yeah. Angel, most of us don't know this. That's why I'm telling you. It's like we just think, well, I tried to go down on her again. She said no. So I'm going to be like, baby, I really want to. But when we're outside the bedroom, we're removed from sex altogether. It's not even on our mind. And we're hanging out. We're just in a really good place. She's like, you know, babe, I realize, God, our sex life, we've never talked about it. I want to know what you think about, what could turn you on. And then you just, and remember, it doesn't have to be a one-time conversation. It's something you can continue to talk about. And because it could be something else. Maybe she's had some pain, or maybe we don't know. We actually don't know. But I think that the first step would be having a conversation with her where you just listen to what she has to say and then take it from there.
All right, perfect.
All right. Let me know how it goes, Angel.
Thank you.
Thanks, Angel.
That's it for today's episode. See you on Tuesday. Thanks for listening to Sex with Emily. Be sure to like, subscribe, and give us a review wherever you listen to the podcast, and share this with a friend or partner. You can find me on YouTube, Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter at Sex with Emily. Oh, I've been told I give really good email. So sign up at sexwithemily.com. And while you're there, check out my free guides and articles for more ways to prioritize your pleasure. If you'd like to ask me about your sex life, dating, or relationships, call my hotline, 559-TALK-SEX. That's 559-825-5739. Or go to sexwithemily.com/askemily. Special thanks to Acast for powering the Sex with Emily podcast. Was it good for you? Email me, feedback@sexwithemily.com.